Good morning, a Tuesday morning after a long Labor Day holiday weekend. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok, and I hope yours was a good one, Alan.
It was. We had some great times this weekend, and, you know, it's always great to recharge the batteries. But here we are, ready to go on one of the busiest news days we have had in a long time. First of all, and probably at the top of the list, the U.S. government is now courting a nuclear disaster. Everything else pales to this because, you know, you got a madman sitting over in North Korea and determined that he can do anything and has, in fact, now announced the arrival of a H-bomb into their group of weapons and threatening the United States with that. You have Nikki Haley at the United Nations making it clear that this is now the precipice of war, saying that UN is begging for war. And you have Putin checking in, saying that the United States' plan for even greater sanctions on the North Koreans is useless and won't help anything. And you have Putin's, you know, sometimes friend, a guy who has expressed admiration for him, the President of the United States, now sitting there holding the short end of the stick. Meanwhile, domestically, what a mess. You have Trump considering getting the Congress to go once more for repeal and replace on the health care bill, of all things. You have a debt limit that needs to be extended. You have a budget that needs to be passed, and everybody is waiting till the very end of the potential negotiating period to do anything here. So it really has turned out to be a time when there will be great tension in the United States over all of this stuff. But at the top of the heap, it seems to me, is the potential for nuclear war.
Is there any diplomatic way out?
Well, we really don't know. The Times had a fascinating article this weekend about how nobody knows what the North Korean leader's motivations are in doing all of this. Look, if he's really insane, if he's really crazy, and that's something I think he would like to project in some ways, that there are no limits for him, I don't know what the U.S. is going to be able to do. I do know one thing. It would be better to have a full house of diplomats who could be negotiating right now. It would be much better to have a president who is not as mercurial as Donald Trump is. You know, when you compare the sort of grace under pressure that Jack Kennedy was compared to this fella, it is really a remarkable difference. So it's scary, and it is probably the worst thing that I've seen.
Then we have DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, that the president has delayed making a decision on for 6 months, that the Times said would buy him some breathing room, but displeases nearly everyone else.
Well, including himself. This is very interesting because he has expressed real concern for these young people who have come to this country and have been here all of their lives. And yet, the base. Remember that, David? We keep talking about it. The base becomes so important. And he is determined not to let that base go. And the idea that the DACA would be out the window as a result of his actions becomes just too enticing for him. He can't stop himself. But he's putting all kinds of things in place. For example, he says, I'm going to give the Congress 6 months to work on this. This isn't we're going to start doing this tomorrow, which you could. Instead, issuing an executive order. So he says 6 months. As Mario Cuomo used to say, in 6 months, a new pope could be born.
President Vladimir Putin of Russia, from the AP this morning, Alan, speaking at a news conference, dismissed a question as to whether he was disappointed in President Trump as naive. His comments carried by the Russian news agencies, Putin also said Trump is not my bride and I'm not his groom.
Yeah, well, Putin has a lot of problems. His country, which was once, you know, one of the two great powers in the world, no longer is. And I am convinced that the Russians are very worried about the investigations into their meddling. They've signaled that in a number of ways, David. So I'm thinking that Putin has to put some distance between himself and Trump, at least public distance. Whether or not we're going to find out a great deal as these investigations by the House, the Senate, and Mueller go into what is described as full gear by the New York Times is very interesting. Because, you know, no matter what the distractions, no matter what the shiny bright lights, nothing will take away from the fact that once the justice system starts to do this investigation, look out.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Happy Tuesday, David.
We're back.